Hi everyone, this is another episode of Mommy Talks with Nina. I'm Nina and this is, believe it or not, episode 6. So tonight I have a really awesome special guest, my first guest ever on this show. I'm going to introduce her. Her name is Amber Dort. She's a mom of one. She's a lover of Black history. Runs the site Dortchness.com. On her site, she showcases photography, a personal blog, and a Black history blog. Black Artists is her current campaign running on her website, and she showcases Black work. And also, she runs a podcast, Inner Rambles Podcast, found on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud.com. Thank you, Amber Dort, for being here.
Thanks for having me. I sound so official with that.
It's a nice, you know, long bio. Mm-hmm.
I tried to keep it short. Didn't work.
Did not disappoint.
I'm happy to be your first guest.
That's awesome. And funny enough, when I was reading your bio, I actually went to school for history and Pan-African studies.
What?
So I love Black history. Black anything.
Nina, are you kidding?
Yes. So we can talk about that.
Pick your brain about that.
Yes. So tonight's episode is going to be really interesting. We are going to be talking about the myths of motherhood, the expectations that we can put on ourselves or other people can put on us, and just the realities of it all. So I had some questions for Amber, so we're just gonna kind of dive into it. And my first question is, what expectations did other people have for you, and what expectations did you have for yourself?
So ironically enough, no one had any real expectations for me. Like, my boyfriend felt and knew that I would be a good mother, and my parents and everyone around me was like, wow, you're gonna do so good, you'll be so great. Almost the opposite, because they know me. I'm a really, you know, they say that you're like your worst critic.
Yes.
I was really, really hard on myself about really everything. So when it came to being a mother, I was like, I wanted to be good. I wanted to do great. So I would look at what my boyfriend's mother would do for her children and what my mom did for us. And I kind of put myself, that was the benchmark that I created. I was like, I have to be this on point no matter what, no matter how tired I am, no matter how stressed I feel, I have to be on point.
Okay.
So no one did that for me. I did it to myself. I created a benchmark that was really unattainable, because I was comparing myself to mothers that were mothering for over 30 years.
Right.
So that was what I did.
That's good. And so you didn't really have expectations put on you. But during, I guess, your pregnancy, or when you were about to be a first-time mom, did you ever kind of say or think like, well, what am I expected to do? Or did you ask yourself, can I kind of live up to certain expectations of being a mom?
I definitely did. I was really scared for the first half of my pregnancy. I was afraid that I wouldn't be good enough to be a mother, because the women in my life that were mothers were so amazing and almost, not to necessarily flawless, but without flaw when I looked at it and from that vantage point. So what I had to do, and which took time for me to realize, was like, God made me a mother because who I am was enough to be one.
Right.
But it took a while for me to get there. Like, I want to say the first 6 months, like I said, I was really, really petrified, and I was praying a lot and figuring out like what I was going to do. And God gave me an answer of like, I was enough. God gave me that answer and I heard it, but I did not receive it.
Yes.
So last couple of months of my pregnancy was about preparing. I prepared the best I could. We did a really good job of that, like organizing things. I purged stuff. I was washing the walls in my house.
You were like, getting ready.
I was getting ready. I was like, these walls have to be clean. We had all different humidifiers. Mm-hmm. My sister came over and was helping me clean. Like, I was cleaning spots that you didn't even know the spot needed to be clean. Wow. I like changed all the sheets. I got new sheets. I got like 4 different sheets. We changed, like, it was really hectic. And then I'd say a pivotal moment in me breaking this stigma was my relationship with my boyfriend started to get strained because I was doing too much. I was working full time. And I would come home from working from 9 to 5. I would pick up my son and I would come home and I would be straightening up anything I didn't clean up from the morning. And then I'd be cooking dinner, and I'm not just cooking like pasta. I'm like freaking cooking whole chickens.
Wow, okay.
I went to the far extreme. It was like detailed meals, like making my own, like, he's Haitian, so okay. I would be blending up like spices and making beans and rice, like whole beans, not even canned beans, like everything had to be fresh. Mm-hmm. I made my son's food because I chose not to breastfeed, so that was my compensation. I'm like, well, you're gonna get these, I'm gonna make your baby food and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I just was running on fumes, and I kind of was like, I have to stop. I can't be these other people. I have to be me.
Right.
I have to relax.
Right.
So it was,
wow.
It was a mess. It was a mess. Like, I look at it now and I'm like, girl, I was freaking, had a 8 months pregnant with a pot. Like, we're going to clean these walls.
Wow.
Come over. Hey, sissy, you want to hang out with me? We're going to clean walls today. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness.
Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, as women, like you were saying, the cooking and the cleaning, taking care of your man, working, taking care of your child and being busy, I guess, is just some of the expectations that we have to deal with as women, as mothers, that even though we might not, I guess, put them on us, it's kind of already on us.
Like, yeah.
It's what we have to deal
exactly.
with. And I guess it's just pretty interesting enough, because I think for me, I didn't really put any expectations on myself, and it's kind of similar to what you said. Like, my mom raised 2 girls with my father, and we turned out to be great, and she did everything she had to do, and I looked at her as my example of how to mother and how to parent and be a good mom. So I guess that was just my expectation. Like, I want to make sure I'm just as good as my mom. I don't know if I could be better, but I want to be just as good as her, and to make her proud and make my son proud and to make everyone proud. So that might have been the, I guess, expectation that I put on myself.
Yeah.
And I don't think other people really put that big of an expectation on me, because they said, well, you know, you work with kids, you're good with kids, you're probably gonna be great, you're gonna be a natural, I know you will. Even at times when I was kind of doubting myself and being very nervous as a first-time mom, they're like, you'll be okay, you got it, you'll be fine, you don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think are some of the myths of motherhood?
I think the myths of motherhood was literally that reality that I was saying, how it would come home and be cooking full chickens and all that stuff. Like, motherhood is not homemaking. Motherhood is not forgetting about yourself and like this modestly dressed woman that's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Vacuuming the drapes.
Like the woman, like, they might want to try to show on a movie,
on
TV.
A movie. Like
that image.
That image and the idea of what a mother is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like 100% sacrifice all the time, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Not thinking of yourself, but thinking of your child. And that's something people still say. And I think now we're sort of getting away from that. And people are realizing, like, you have to be a sound individual to be a good mother.
Yes.
Like, if you're not fulfilled and you're not going towards something that fulfills you, you can't be a good mother because you're not a good person, because yes. this is a relationship. I think the stereotype of motherhood is like, when you, as a woman, become a mother, you are just a mother. Mm. You're nothing else. Yes, that's you're a just good... a mother mm-hmm. and you're just a wife. Mm. That's it. Right. So your existence is to cater to the people in your life mm-hmm. and to make their existence more comfortable and be a support to them and be there for them. And that's it. And I was molding myself into that, thinking that that made me a better person. Mm. And it wasn't. It almost was. Not even almost, it was the complete opposite. I wasn't myself because that wasn't who I was. Right. So once I realized it's okay to take time for myself, it's okay to have to it's figure important. Out. Yeah. And it's mm-hmm. it is critical. It's not even just important, it's critical. Yeah. You will go crazy. Mm-hmm. You will turn into a crazy psycho person. Yeah. Whether that's you're lashing out on your partner, or you don't want to get up to tend to the baby. It's taking you longer to tend to the baby. Mm-hmm. You become resentful. It's critical to remind yourself that you're still me. Like, I had to remind myself that I'm still Amber Dortch. Now I am a visual at the time, I was like, I'm still a visual merchandiser. I love the things I love. And now I've just added another thing to the resume. Another title. Another yeah. title mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of eliminating.
Right.
It's not eliminating, it's an addition. And it's a beautiful addition.
Yes.
But I had to finesse my way. Like, I right. really had to figure out what motherhood meant to me. Mm. Where it fit in the grand scheme of my life instead of changing myself to fit into what
society
mm-hmm. thinks it is.
Right. No, I'm glad you actually said that. I mean, for me, I think that was probably one of the most difficult and hard things for me, because I was just so used to taking care of Nina,
yeah.
taking care of myself. So when you have a baby, it's not just about you anymore. It's about your child. Your child's needs come first before your needs. But then it's also important to remember, like you said, who you were before you had your child. What makes you happy? What do you like to do? And I think it's important to remember that and not forget that. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think in the beginning, it was kind of difficult to make sure that I still took care of myself and did things that I enjoyed and that made me happy, because I had this fear almost of being away from my son.
Yeah.
And like, I wanted to always be by him, but then I'm like, you know what? I need to go out and still do things that I enjoy and that I like to do. So I'm really happy that you kind of touched on that,
yeah.
because it's so important. And like you said, you also have to remember your relationship, because there could be a strain in your mm-hmm. relationship because of it. Remember your friends and family, and just remember being who you are. And you have to remember, you can't be a superhuman.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. You I think it was one of my really good friends said, you know what, Nina, if you can't do something today, you have another day.
Exactly.
Don't try to do everything
all in one day,
because you'll just drive yourself crazy.
Literally, actually insane.
Yeah.
And I'm happy you touched on that, like mm-hmm. the strain and like the partnership. Mm-hmm. I realized that I wasn't asking for help
when
I needed it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't giving him the opportunity to help.
Okay.
You know? So I use this analogy all the time. I was just talking to my mom about this. When anytime I feel like, well, I have to do it and I have to get up, I stop myself and I literally say, Mary had Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. So Mary in the Bible, that's Jesus' mama.
For anyone who didn't know.
Anybody didn't know. And the whole story about Jesus is God, you know, immaculate conceptioned Mary.
Yes.
And so Joseph is technically not Jesus's father, mm-hmm. but God found it important for Mary to have Joseph there for her to help her raise him. So I'm like, who am I to think that I don't need help cooking dinner, cleaning right. up, waking up when the baby wakes up, getting things together, when God gave Mary Joseph?
Yes.
So I had to really train my mind to pull out of like that innate thing in your gut as a mother of, I can do it better. Mm-hmm. I can do it all and I can do it better, and I'm going to do it right. Mm-hmm. And there is no right if it gets done.
Right.
So that was a power struggle for me. Mm-hmm. It had nothing even to do with him. It had everything to do with me because he was open and willing to help. He just didn't know where, mm-hmm. like where to go to help me. I had to help him figure out
where. He probably didn't want to step on your toes.
He didn't want to step on my toes. Mm-hmm. He didn't want, you know, he didn't, because he loved me and he wanted me to be happy. And right. if this is what's going to make her happy, if this she's feeling fulfilled, I'm going to step back and let her
right.
figure it out. But it was up to me to be like, no, I need you. And I'm very fortunate. He was always there for everything. Wow. Like, we were inseparable in general, but like appointments, all of it, everything. He would change a diaper, give him a bottle, he'll feed him, he'll That's figure good. It out. Like, really involved. So I'm like, I'm taking time away from you. There's two parents here.
Yes.
You guys need to bond too. It's important for you to know these things too, to get his personality and hang out and have your own special things that you do. So once I relinquished control, I was able to gain control. Like, gain control of the situation. Have things be a little more organized. Really assess what could be done right now and what couldn't be. Or make a list, like your friend said, and be like, okay, well, guess I didn't get to that.
It's okay.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. No one's gonna die. We're gonna go to bed now. Yes. You know? It's like,
yes.
I was so afraid of, like, I just don't want bugs in my house or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, okay, if the plate is in the, like, just, you can't, you're spent. Like, mm-hmm. he sleep, everybody sleep, go to sleep.
It's
when you
okay.
wake up, just do it and it's fine. Or just, okay, no, you didn't fold the clothes. No, you didn't get to the laundry. Just, it's all
right. Right.
You know.
It goes back to that expectations
mm-hmm.
about being a mother. And I really like that you said, you know, that your boyfriend was such a man that he was willing to step up and do certain things that not a lot of men might want to do, because they might say, well, it's not my role.
Exactly.
It's not my job.
Exactly.
It's your job to feed and change the diaper and mm-hmm. to soothe the baby. And, oh, I don't know what I need to do. But it sounds like he was willing and wanted to help in any way possible. So you had that support.
Yes.
Which was really good, that not a lot of mm-hmm. women get. I know in the hospital for me, after giving birth to my son, I was still trying to heal and mm-hmm. I did not feel very well. And I know Kwame, he's stepped up in such a great way that I didn't change a diaper in the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Like, maybe one diaper.
Yeah.
In the two days that we were there, but he was changing diapers. He was feeding him with the bottle. I was trying to nurse and still getting my milk to come in. So I'll talk about that on another mm-hmm. episode. But I was just going through so much just having my son. So the fact that he was able to step up and be there and do the things at that time that I kind of couldn't really do was just so wonderful. And even at home, he changes diapers and he plays and
yep.
he does all the things that I need him to do and want him to do. And of course, there were times where I may have wanted him to step up a little more.
Yeah.
And that happens. But I always did voice it and ask for help, which was really good. So I think if you're a woman, if you're a mom, I would say voice your opinion. I would say if you need help, ask for help. And don't put too many things on your plate. Don't overstress and don't get too overwhelmed and think I need to do X, Y, and Z because I'm a mom. Like, mm-hmm. your spouse can help with feeding.
Absolutely.
Your spouse can change diapers just
they
like
sure
you.
Can. They have hands. They have hands.
Poopy just diapers like you. And all.
They can do it. And it's giving them, allowing the opportunity to let them do it.
Yes.
Like, give them the space to do it. They were No, they didn't they weren't physically pregnant, but they were there. They were along the ride with you. Mm-hmm. They were in that house. They were figuring out what you wanted to eat. They were dealing with the mood swings. They were dealing with the challenges. They were helping you put your shoes on. Aww, like all yes. of that stuff, you yes. know? So it's like they had their own connection to your mm-hmm. journey during your pregnancy. It wasn't like you, like God willing, it wasn't like you were the Lone Ranger. We're right. speaking specifically like a relationship right. aspect.
Specifically to mothers who yes. are in a relationship mm-hmm. or have a fiance, boyfriend, married. Husband. If you're a single mom and if mm-hmm. you're doing it yourself, then
God bless you. More power to you. Ooh, I don't know how.
I know that it also like my family played a very vital role, and especially my mom, God yes, bless her, God. Because if I did not have my mom, who when I was home during my maternity leave, when Kwame went back to work, if I didn't have her coming over just to give me time to sleep,
yep.
time to eat, mm-hmm. time to shower,
yes.
do those vital things, I think that I would just go crazy.
Yes.
I would have literally gone crazy. So I really just thank her too. It's so great if you have a support system.
A support system.
Family, friends, anybody.
It comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yes.
And you can limit the amount, because I think that's a part of the expectation too. I feel like when it's, like the idea is when you have this baby and you come home, like, your mom is with you, or sometimes people like have their parent, like yeah. a mother stay in the house,
yes.
in the home. Mm-hmm. Like there's this expectation of, oh, well, they're going to be there and they're going to be there all the time, every day, all day. Sometimes that doesn't work for everybody.
That's true.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like I know for me, I liked that my mom was there for those first like couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but then we really wanted to be like, hey, I kind of felt like, mm-hmm. all right, I got this. I'm sure it's different because I chose not to breastfeed after a very short mm-hmm. amount of time. So I felt like, okay, I got this. Like, we want to find our flow as a family. Like, we're a new family. We want to figure out, like, what it's like if I'm just home all day by myself while he's at work mm-hmm. and our dynamic of what we need to do. So if that doesn't work for you, don't feel shy to say what you need.
Yeah.
Because it's challenging for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everyone's excited. Babies bring so much joy and excitement to a family, but it's so, and as a mom, you almost feel like you don't want to diminish anybody's joy. You don't want to diminish that True. Excitement. But what you need is most important, because when all of the fun and games are over you're and the door there. Closes, mm-hmm. you're the one that's still yes. there. And right. if that's draining to you, if it's too overwhelming, your hormones are like all over the place. They're resetting. You freaking still feel like you're pregnant, even if, like, you feel like you have, like, a phantom belly. Like,
the flabby.
Yeah, it's, like, flabby and confusing.
You're healing. So much is going. Yeah.
If you had a C-section, you need, like, more attention. Like, you do need more help because of the incision. Yes. If you had a vaginal birth, I delivered vaginally.
I delivered vaginally.
I didn't really tear, so I was pretty okay. I was pretty fine. I mean, as fine as you could be.
I had stitches, so that
I had two stitches.
I had a couple mm-hmm. of stitches too.
But
yes,
Lord.
And then you're dealing with the afterbirth and all of that stuff.
Sometimes it's just you want to be by yourself. It needs to be private.
That's especially true. So I'm happy that I did have my mom, but like you said, like, and my dad and my sister.
Yes.
But I did not want to put too much on my mom. Mm-hmm. I still wanted her to be able, she still works,
right.
so I wanted her to be able to do the things that she needed to do and also live her life,
right.
but then help out as well, because I didn't want to strain her and put too much
exactly.
necessary work on top of work mm-hmm. that she already has. And like you said, not everyone has a nanny at home or someone at home that can help them. But it's good when you do have some support, and some people might want it, some people might not. Mm-hmm. Everybody is different. And so we'll just get into our next question. So what do you think was the hardest thing you had to deal with being a new mom?
The hardest thing I had to deal with was knowing that it's not, like, this is not a robot situation. This is like a human being. So what I mean by that was, I didn't really read a lot of books when I was pregnant because I know how my mind works. I'll be like, well, I read this in this book, and so this is like fact. Oh. So I kind of wanted to go with the flow. But when we got home and we were trying to figure out the feeding schedule, I was like, okay, it's every 4 hours. So I put on my phone. I had an alarm in my phone, Nina, for every 4 hours. Like, I was just,
you know, I thought about doing that, but I never did the alarm.
I'm happy you did it, because let me tell you, that alarm thing got thrown right out the window after the first alarm. So that was the hardest thing for me, was like the scheduling of it. Like, I'm like, how am I going to know? Like, everything has to be whatever. So it'd be like 2 a.m. and the alarm goes off and nothing's happening because he didn't wake up. And my boyfriend's like, take all of the alarms off your phone.
You're driving me crazy.
Yes, so that was the hardest thing, was like trusting. I wasn't trusting myself. I was relying on like scheduling something that couldn't be scheduled,
right?
You know, because there were some days where he was really hungry, he wanted to eat every 4 hours or whatever, and then there would be other days where he was still eating every 4 hours, but not as much. But then I was like, oh, well, this is a person. There's some days I'm hungrier one day than I am the other.
Right.
So it was kind of releasing that, like, letting him sort of take the lead. And I know that sounds weird because it's a baby, but I had to start looking at it of, like, Zion, that's my son's name. Zion is an individual. So I'm going to kind of
feed off of him.
Like, feel the vibe of what he's giving me, because I don't want to miss any cues.
Right.
Because when I was putting him on this schedule, I was missing the cues. Mm-hmm. And then my boyfriend would jump in and be like, oh, no, that's not what he wants. He wants this. And I'm like, how do you know that? What do you mean? I was like, I've been here all day and I've been trying to figure it out. He goes, because I just listened to him. And I'm like, how do you listen to a 1-month-old?
Wow.
But like, he was just feeling the vibe. He's like, yeah, when he does this, it's that. Like, he more was like, go with the flow.
Go with the flow. So, but you were more kind of like a schedule.
Like schedule. Because I'm like, well, I have to clean. I want to cook. I want to do this. I want to get the bottles ready. I want to clean these other bottles. I want to take a shower. I got to do my hair. So when my boyfriend comes home, I don't look a mess. And I'm like, girl, what are you doing?
Oh,
so that
goodness.
I had to really, that is a, I know I talked about that in the first question, but that was really like a reoccurring theme for me of like being really strict about time and in organization and all that stuff, instead of being free-flowing. It's just go with the flow. And once I did that, I still am a little schedule oriented because I just have to be. But once I went with the flow, I got to know my son. I got to get to know this person, you know, and that was special. I wasn't missing anything.
Right.
I was missing things when it was too scheduled. I wasn't missing anything.
That's really good. That's going to help out a lot of moms. Mm-hmm. So not being so strict and on a schedule, but like you said, picking up those hints and clues from your baby. I think for me, the hardest thing was sleep.
Oh.
So I know when I was pregnant, people said, oh, get all the sleep now, because once the baby comes. And I used to think, okay, so I slept pretty well during my pregnancy. There were some nights I didn't sleep as well as others. But I'm like, even if I get all this sleep now, it's not going to help me. It's not going to matter when my son comes. It's not going to like magically appear and be like, sleep that you have. So, I mean,
like a bank account.
Right.
I'm a couple hours short.
So let me go into this ATM and be like, oh, I want this sleep from this month and that month. Like, you can't do that.
No.
So, coming home and settling in, and I think sleep and just being on a schedule. Like, I love to sleep.
Same.
And the thing is, I would call myself a grandma because I'd like to go to bed early, like 10, 11. Mm-hmm. And then I'd wake up relatively early, but that's kind of how my sleep schedule was. I was never really the type to like enjoy being up at 4 or 5 in the morning, even to go on a flight or a trip. I just hated it. So when you do bring your baby home, they tell you in the hospital, if you're bottle feeding, it's every 3 hours bottle feeding with the formula. If you're breastfeeding, every 2 hours. So like you said, that schedule, you like looking at the time, okay, I just fed my child at this time, then I have to feed him again at this time. And it does make your mind go very crazy. And I know we didn't do the alarms, but there were times that I kind of wanted to just put in my phone.
Yes.
Like the alarms. And I'm like, no, 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 it's going to drive myself crazy. But the sleep was a really big thing. I wasn't getting very much sleep at all. My sleep was very broken. Mm-hmm. Till this day, my sleep is broken. I joke with anybody and I say I haven't slept since March 3rd.
Yes, because
2019, no. Uh-huh. I haven't had a full night's sleep since. I haven't. Mm-hmm. And
It'll come soon.
I am nursing and he is very close and mm-hmm. attached to me and still wakes up. And I love it because I think of the alternative when he gets older.
Yes.
He's probably not going to want it. So I'm like, let me take all the yes. love and the snuggles and the
I love that you said that
now.
Because that I think in an expectation mm-hmm. because that is so true because I take it too. He's still three. And if he wants me to pick him up and we're in the house, I will pick him up
Enjoy
and give him a cuddle.
It. Yes.
And he goes back down and he does what he wants to do. And I think with expectations, they're like at a certain time.
To kind of cut it off.
To cut that off.
Yes.
No, the reality of it is that. Because yeah. there's less years of them being small.
Yes, and wanting that.
And wanting
yeah.
that.
And it's like, why? That's true. Like, why cut it off at a certain point?
Why?
When you don't have to. So.
No.
Sleep was the hardest thing for me. Being on a schedule was the hardest thing for me. But you just have to make it work. You find your balance
yeah.
and you kind of just do what you have to do and you know it's not going to always be like that. Like, it's not going to be like that forever.
Forever.
And enjoy mm-hmm. it while I have it.
Yeah, don't be scared.
Don't
I know that sounds really scary because people don't talk about it because I feel like it's scary. But it's not.
It's
not nearly as scary as you think it's possible. Like, you do find a flow. You do get used to it.
Yes.
It is possible. It's not impossible.
Right.
People have been doing this for centuries.
Right. You'll find out your balance
yes.
and work what works best for you.
And you work wow.
And
what
best,
works
for the, best,
best
for the
baby.
Yes. It's you and the baby.
It's
right?
you and the baby.
And the baby, yes. And every baby's different.
So different.
Because I would also have people tell me what worked with their child. And it was nice, but that doesn't mean that that's going to happen with my
yes,
baby or
it
happen
doesn't.
For me, mm-hmm. then it kind of goes back to the sleep.
Exactly.
You get your sleep now.
Because there's some people, like my son, he was asleep, but I didn't breastfeed. And
mm-hmm.
I know that.
It makes a difference.
It makes a really, really
yes.
big difference. I'm sure you're going to touch on that and talk about
yes.
that. But there is a major difference mm-hmm. between breastfeeding and formula feeding. I breastfed for a short amount of time. And like Nina said, it's constant.
Mm-hmm.
It's every 2 hours. It really is more demanding
right.
versus formula. With formula, it almost created an independence early.
Yes.
Because I'm holding you,
mm-hmm.
but really anybody can hold
right.
you.
Right, anybody. Right, and that's like another thing that I probably will touch on as like an expectation of a woman, because if you are breastfeeding, if you are nursing your child, your significant other, at least if you're putting
him
the baby
on the breast,
yep. your
significant
other can't do that.
Mm-mm.
And if you are breastfeeding and you pump and it's in the bottle, then your significant
yes.
other can feed your baby.
Mm-hmm.
But my son did like breast milk from the bottle
yeah.
for a little while. But then when I was home for the summer with him being out of work, he got more used to and attached from the nipple. And then he
mm-hmm.
kind of, he got nipple confusion, which as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another thing why the closeness
yes.
and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But my son also does take formula too and
yes.
did have formula in the hospital.
Like supplemented.
And
yeah.
supplementing, even though he doesn't really like it so much now,
mm-hmm.
like we'll put it and his oatmeal and different
yes.
things. But you do what's best for you at the end of the day. So this is the last question. So when I was talking to Amber prior to starting recording and everything, she was telling me that she goes to school.
Yes,
so I want
I'm
you
crazy.
To talk. No, that's excellent. I want
Thank
you to
you.
Talk a little bit about that, like going to school and being a mom of a 3-year-old and how you juggle that and the household and your boyfriend and all
yes.
of that. How has that been for you?
It hasn't been as challenging as I thought. There are moments. I'm not going to sit here and say it's breezy, but there were moments where it was really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to keep this really brief and give like a whole overview, general story of my story with school. So after the baby was born, we had a conversation about what everybody wanted to do the next level. Mm-hmm. And for me, school was something that was left on the wayside. I went to my career right away, and I felt like that was something that was missing. So when I went back to Party City, I figured I worked for Party City Corporate.
Okay.
At the when I was pregnant and for the first year of the baby's life. Mm-hmm. So after the first year, I said, I want to work for a year, see how I like it, and then I'll come home. After the first year, I came home. I didn't try to go to school at that time. And I was like, okay, I'm home now. I think I can go to school. I did my research throughout that whole year, and I found that online schooling was the best fit for me.
Right.
I landed on the University of Phoenix.
Excellent.
So I did through the paperwork, I did all of that, and I started with school. Now, there was a lot of communication with me and my boyfriend about how it would work and what I needed to do. So I got everything I needed. I got my laptop, I got all the stuff together. I wasn't working, so that was a really... It essentially took the place of work. So with work, it was that still hecticness that, you know about.
Right.
So with school, I had to figure out a schedule. This is when that crazy, monotonous, methodical, like, feeding schedule, I took that mindset and brought it to school. So for the first couple of weeks of school, I just went. Whether, like, when my son was preoccupied watching a movie, I would just go. I wanted to get a feel of how hard it was going to be.
So this was in person?
This was online.
Oh, online.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't go to school in person. I did try. I went to ECC for, like, a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And it was impossible. Mm-hmm. With work,
yes.
Driving there, dropping the baby off, making sure my boyfriend...
It's a lot.
It was too insane. Mm-hmm. Online schooling was the best fit for me because I could go whenever I wanted. As a new mom and as a parent, that was the easiest thing. I created the schedule. That was critical to me. That was very important. So I can go on Tuesday at 1:00 in the morning, or I can go on Friday at 8:00 in the morning. That's what I needed. So for the first couple of weeks, I just went to school, like online, whenever time I felt like it, to figure out a time schedule. I want to say, because I'm about to enter the third year. Wow. I'm about to enter the
That's
third year.
Great.
Yeah. Now I have a schedule of I go 3 times a week for 2 hours.
Okay.
And this is with no distraction. I wait until my boyfriend comes home from work.
Okay.
He, you know, gets settled in the house. I go into the room. I close the door. That's my time. No distraction. My phone's not near me. And I focus on school for 2 hours, like, consecutively. That's what works for me.
Right.
And that's how... I realized, almost like being a mom made me realize, like, there's more hours in the day because you're not sleeping. Like, you know what I mean? I know how to run on 5 hours of sleep already. I already have that practice. I did that for a year. I'm like, now I'm home, so I don't have to wake up to go to work. Even if I did, it's like I realized how to organize my time freely instead of, like, trying to predict it.
Right.
I lived it for a little bit, and then I created a schedule, and that's what helped me. Because I also run the website, and I also do the podcast.
You have a lot going on.
And I have a lot going on, but when I tell you, mm-hmm. I buckle down for 2 hours a day, mm-hmm. and I give each day of mm-hmm. that 2 hours is mine.
Your time.
Is right. my time. And I communicated that with my partner. I'm like, hey, I figured out my schedule. I need 2 hours of the day just to do what I need to do. And we're like, cool, okay, sounds good.
That's excellent.
And my son knows, and I tell him, I'm like, hey, mommy's recording a podcast. He's like, what are you talking about? But okay. I'm like, hey, mom's going over here. Hey, mommy's in school. So he knows. He's like, hey, don't bother mommy. Mom's in school. Mm-hmm. So we created I got like a 2-hour safe haven for
right.
me. And it works great. So I do all of those things, but it's in these two. I dedicate 2 hours every single day to do it. And that's how I make it work. Because your girl still is on Instagram.
Great.
And all that stuff.
And
so.
Your son is going to look back on that. Your son is going to look up to you.
Yeah.
And love, my mommy can do this. My mom can do that. She wears many hats.
Yeah.
She's just not my mom. She's a go-getter, and she's doing multiple things, and you're doing what you love.
Yes.
So I love that because I've been thinking about going back to school
mm-hmm.
or just diving into something different,
yeah.
completely different to what I've been doing,
exactly.
project management.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working on it before having my son, before being pregnant, so I do want to, so that gives me
Like, it's possible.
And it's possible that I can do multiple things.
Yes.
And plan it out and be very strategic mm-hmm. at it. So I love that, love that, yes. love that. Thank you so much, Amber.
You're welcome. This was great.
For coming on Mommy Talks with Nina. My first guest ever, and I yes. hope you come back on yes. again
yes.
soon. So please let the listeners know where they can get in touch with you, where they can hear about your podcast. Just let them know again.
Okay. Well, you can follow me at Dorchness on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. InnerPod on Instagram. My podcast is called Inner Rambles Pod. Wow, that's the wrong thing. Inner Rambles Podcast. So Inner Rambles Pod on Instagram and Dorchness.com. That's everything.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Amber. Lovely having you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, all of my listeners. I love and adore you all. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.